This is John Costa with Rob Watson, and we're here on Spotlight on Art, our weekly show and also a podcast about all things relating to art in Leicester. Rob, how are you this week?
I'm very well, thank you, John.
Look at the weather. We always talk about the weather. It's dreadful today, look.
It's nice. I've got my shorts on.
You've always got your shorts on.
I've got a couple of layers.
But... I've got my shorts on, but I've got a couple of layers. Like. Anyway, so now we've put the weather to bed. We've got a special guest this week, actually, someone I'm quite looking forward to having a conversation with. Met her a few times in and around Leicester, hence her name, Albina Leicester. Welcome, Albina. Thanks for coming on to Spotlight on Art.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, you sound a little bit hesitant then.
No,
we've
I'm
got
sure.
29 minutes to prove that that's not going to be the case. Anyway, listen, thanks for coming on. Now, we've known each other for a couple of years now. I remember, I think you came to one of the Saturday Heritage Fairs that I organised, and we had conversations about artwork and photography and stuff like that. So tell us, where are you from and how long have you been in Leicester?
Okay, I should say I'm from Leicester. I've arrived to Leicester in 2010. So that's 15 years now. Before I lived in Lithuania, I was 19, I suppose, when I came over. I just gave away everything. when I came to England, I didn't speak English, and it's like building the life from scratch again.
Wow, okay.
Life took me to work with elderly people, and that's where eventually I've met somebody that inspired me to come back to art. There was a lady that loved painting, and she did loads of paintings and promoted it, and I was impressed by her dedication, so... That's when I understood, yes, that's where I'm going. I'm going back into art.
So coming back to art, where would you describe your art journey? Is it something you've been interested in since you were young? Was it something you got into through education? Was it through someone inspiring you and you got into it because it was a part-time?
It's my dad. He was very creative and he is still. He doesn't do as much as he used to, but he was creating wooden things himself. He was sewing. He was creating loads of things himself, and he was showing me and teaching him. Sometimes I used to go to the garage with him, and he would fix the car, and he would show me everything about that. So it's my dad, but my dad who brought me into it, and he's still collecting antiques and... He used to be a great drawer. Sometimes cheated at school, and I've asked him to help me out with some drawings, and I would say it's me.
And it's interesting because, Rob, we've spoken to people, haven't we, since we've started doing these now. I think we're into sort of 11 or 12, aren't we? This is number 11 or 12. And what's coming through, always say to people, you know, who inspires you? You know, how did you first... you know, get into artwork or when you first felt creative. And it's normally someone that's showing you something that probably doesn't think about, they see themselves as an artist or whatever. They're just doing things that are creative. Now, you're talking about wood stuff there. You were talking about sewing. You were talking about fixing cars. It's just about being practical and doing. Isn't that, Rob?
Yeah, and it's often somebody close to somebody who's not necessarily in a position of authority or... you know, it's like they don't have to be a big figure. It's somebody that's, you know, a neighbour, a friend, a school teacher, without it being somebody who kind of is a big superstar. Well, we haven't had anybody yet who's come in and said, yeah, I kind of, you know, this big superstar artist that took
Picasso, me on.
Yeah.
So your dad, tell us a little bit about him. Why do you think he was... creative like that? Is it the way he was brought up? Is it his family members? I mean, are like your grandparents like that, or is it just something your dad found as a way of coping with growing up in Lithuania?
He had that very special photo album from the army days, and next to on each page he would have a drawing from his days of army, and he told me how he used to draw for his colleagues there. That was something special to me, how he drew it. And he also were talking about legacy of the family. And that stuck in me. The wooden things he would be doing, he would put his initials there. And he would say one day it might be found and talked about as it's me who's done it.
That's interesting. You talk about family there and stuff. We had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with Cassia, I think it was, and she was from Poland, and she was talking about, you know, being very creative, like sewing and artwork and making when she was younger as well. As part of, I mean, do you see that as part of your heritage as well? You know, as a Lithuanian, do you kind of, are you inspired by your Lithuanian culture?
I suppose my dad is the only person who does it in the family, and the rest of the family were kind of judging it or not accepting it as I was loving it. So it's not the family thing, it's just something from my dad.
I like that sort of family, sort of, you know, father-daughter kind of thing, yeah. So Albina, tell me a little bit, when someone says to you, what are you interested in? We've already mentioned art, and I've also mentioned photography, so how would you describe yourself? Are you a creative? Do you consider yourself an artist? How do you describe yourself? This fascinates me, that perennial conversation about, you know, is photography art?
Yes, I found myself creative, and the more I go into art, the more I find myself creative. I started off with Carol introducing me back into art in Leicester. And when I was traveling abroad, it came to me that all those places I go around and I spend loads of money to be there, like Copenhagen. What about me going back to Leicester and looking at Leicester the same way I'm looking when I'm abroad? At new things, discover it. And that started me off. I was walking around Leicester day and night sometimes, and looking at new things, discovering Leicester. That's when I actually fell in love with Leicester.
That's fascinating, isn't it? It's almost like you can walk around elsewhere, but we don't walk around where we live looking at it the same way. I mean, Rob and I were literally just before we were waiting for you to come in today, we were talking about travel logs and Rob's upcoming trip later on in the year to Japan, and about sort of, you know, going around where to go, what to see, what to do, capturing some content while you're there. But rather than it being just sort of very kind of professional and polished, it's more about this is what I saw and this is what inspired me. And you're talking about the same kind of things, isn't it? Which is when you're walking around, you're like, why am I doing this when I'm back in Leicester? And you're taking that approach. It reminds me very much of Kulsum Haffagy as well, someone that Rob and I have interviewed many years ago, with her Instagram Colours of Leicester, where she would just go out and approach people in the street and interview them about, you know, what they liked about Leicester, who they were, where they were from and stuff. And this kind of reminds me of that. You've kind of come back and look for a reason to fall back in love with the city.
Yes, I suppose I've asked myself, I'm in this city for a reason. Why this city? And what do I know about this city? And I want to know more. And the only way of knowing more is exploring more. I suppose the first that dragged me into the city and it's people. People. I worked with loads of elderly people passing on their wisdom to me. And then it became arts and photography. As much as somebody was painting, I was doing that photography.
Interesting. Honestly, I think you're probably one of the deepest people that we've had on so far. Someone who's not thinking about, not overthinking it, but almost like simplifying it to the point where they're just thinking about their practice and why they're doing it and walking around and being interested.
If you don't, what have you learned? So what would you say you've discovered about, because sometimes, again, John and I were talking before we earlier, and I've stopped doing photography in Leicester because I've reached a point where it's kind of repetitive of often the same thing. So I'm very interested to hear about what you see. What is it that you've discovered through your eyes about Leicester?
Well, at the start, when I started focusing on Leicester photography, I saw it being underappreciated. And as time went along, I saw the banners appearing, talking about history. So it's the change of Leicester in the meantime. And last year, I've spent loads of travelling with my other friend, a photographer, and we went to different museums, to different towns all around England. And I thought, yes, that's when I felt a bit tired of Leicester. But then this year, from January the 1st, I went back into Leicester and I saw Leicester even more beautiful with all that experience I had from the museums and cities of England. So Leicester even more beautiful.
So, Albina, tell me a little bit about Carol Williams, because we've recorded two segments so far and you've mentioned her twice. So she's obviously an important person to you. Talk about working with elderly people and stuff. What was it about Carol that really stood out for you?
Well, when I met Carol in 2015, I was working in a housing development, new scheme housing development in Blaby. And it was a 50 flats block, or was a restaurant, a hairdresser's salon, cinema, and of course art classes led by Carol and Tony. Tony is her late husband. So she was a figure then, and I was observing her. I take time to get on with people. And she was doing all those paintings, and there was one I particularly admired. It was with the two birds rising up in the sky, high up, with the light coming through those skies. And when I saw Carol and her paintings, I kept on admiring it. So eventually she said, This painting meant to be for you. And I still
and
got it.
And that's the one that you've got there with you, yeah.
Yes, I brought it with me because it's very special. It kept the light in me. It kept me going throughout the years, because coming to a different country, it might sometimes not always be easy. And you get those moments, well, what I'm doing here, maybe I'm in the wrong place and things like that. But no, this painting is in my home, and I see it every day, and it keeps me going. That gives me a purpose of keeping going. Going further from that painting, I've started to ask, Tony was, Carol's husband, wasn't feeling well, so I asked to do a commission for me. And they were saying, oh, I don't know whether he'll do it, he's so unwell. And eventually he's done it, and they were so happy. It brought so much light into them, and understood that this is something I can do. And I started to think of new places I can start for new commissions. Actually, yes. But going further on, I was on a night shift in Oak Court, the place I was working in, and Carol just published her book. And I read it first night, and I finished it off, I think, on the second night of my work. And I felt so special about it. It's something really touched me.
And was it about her life and why she was interested in artwork and stuff and Tony?
It was about her life and going through her mito disease as she was born with, and all the struggles, and how she overcame so many challenges, and she still keeps on going, and she's making art and she's making people happy, and she was a queen of the place at the time.
And running art classes as well.
Running art classes,
yeah,
exactly.
While being there. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Now, I've been fortunate enough to obviously have some interactions online with Carol through you, and we're looking to help her have her dream, which is a first exhibition, and she's going to be displaying some of her artwork alongside your photography work at our upcoming Doc Photo 8 exhibition in July, which is fantastic. So let's start first thing. What photographs will you be showing?
Oh, well, it's something I'm still to make a final decision on. I've already made a decision on what Carol and Tony's artwork will be exhibited, but mine, I will be adjusting it to what it is and seeing what would look the best in the composition. Because for me, it's more important to have Carol's dream to come true, her exhibition, her very special exhibition, and I want her to be happy and knowing that her artwork has been seen in Leicester and it goes further, and it's so important her artwork is being showed to people as well as Leicester people. It's Leicester legacy.
So this is John Costa and Rob Watson on the Spotlight on Art show here on Saw Sound. Hopefully you're enjoying listening to our show this week. And our guest is Albina Leicester, who we're talking to about her artwork and photography and helping someone who's become a very good friend of hers now, Carol Williams, and also her late husband, Tony, to show some of their artwork in our upcoming Doc Photo 8 exhibition, which will be at Adult Ed from the 14th to the 25th of July. Now, Forget Me Not, you're on Instagram, it's for Forget Me Not, and I've seen this a few times around. What's your reasoning behind that?
When we were preparing with Carol to get out and started to exhibit, I've asked her, how do you want to be known as? And she said, it's forget-me-not art. Forget-me-not, because when Tony has passed away, it's something that kept her going. Somebody in funeral directors given her the forget-me-not seeds, and she planted them, and now every year they come out. And Tony was saying he will only become popular after he'll pass away.
Like every artist, really. It's kind of the thing, isn't it? You know, strange, isn't it?
So I suppose for Carol, Forget Me Not, it's something special for her. And I just wanted to have her touch. And I'm helping her to manage the social media and put out artwork. So the people see it, people know it, that there was a Carol, there was a Tony in Leicester that did so well.
So how does Carol describe her artwork?
She loves doing it. She it makes her happy.
And how does she describe it? Is it portraiture? Is it landscape? Is it real life?
It's just Carol's artwork.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to help me out here. You can't just say it's Carol's artwork.
Yeah. I suppose.
You've seen her body of work, her portfolio of stuff. What kind of things is she?
Yes.
I have as well. Been very fortunate that you shared it with me. So there's buildings, there's landscapes, there's places that, you know, we can instantly recognise.
Yes. She loves the artist Bob Ross. He used to come up on the telly. And she loves doing nature paintings because Bob Ross has inspired her. It's kind of tranquilizing, but with buildings is Tony who taught her to do buildings. In the meantime, I asked her to do loads of Leicester buildings, and she says it's something that brought me back to Leicester. Vina, I didn't want to, but the way you wanted those Leicester paintings, which will be exhibited. It was me willing for them.
Well, I think when we choose things for Doc Photo 8 or looking to talking to people about being interested in heritage, for example, it's a crossover with the Spotlight on Heritage show that we do as well, is it's always about people talk about buildings and things like that, where it's, for me, I'm fascinated that if somewhere's 100 years old, how many people have used that building, how many people have visited, the stories, it's not just the building itself, it's about how people have used that building and what it's represented. And obviously, you know, you can look, walk down somewhere like Granby Street where you've got all of these old historic buildings that have got, you know, Thomas Cook connections and stuff, and they used to be coffee shops. They've been, you know, reading rooms and things like that where people went to read the newspaper. But what they might be now, you know, a fast chicken place, or, you know, or half the facade's gone and it's now a gym. It's who's gone in that building. They're the things that fascinate me. So from your point of view, when you're walking around and you're looking at your, you know, something to do for your artwork or taking photographs, what are you looking at? Are you photographing what you see, or are you trying to wait for the right picture to come along?
I'm waiting for the right picture to come along, and it's whether people or buildings, but not strangely enough, you don't take photographs of the fast food shops, isn't it? I don't, not normally.
But it's a way that we've engaged young people in conversations before about the Heritage Action Zone, that just because it's a fast food shop now, what has it been previously? And then we start thinking about, well, you know, by the time you grow up, you might have a family, you know, 20 years' time, 30 years' time. What could that building be? If the top of Granby Street is now no longer known as a fast food street, which it's pretty much become now, what will it be going forward? Will we go back to something where, you know, it's all families and people are living there? There's no shops, they're all houses, you know, how the high street is changing in the UK. And I think that's one of those things that's really important that we need to keep talking about. So Rob, I just want to bring you in here as well, talking about, you know, someone who goes around and takes photographs of the city, or not so much now as you used to, and you're going off to Japan and stuff like that. But I know soundscapes is something that you've done before, isn't it? Just kind of walking around, just capturing sounds and stuff like that. Where do you think that fits in with the whole being creative and artwork? And I'm almost thinking now we could have Albina's photographs of buildings, Tony and Carol's artwork, but we should have an accompanying soundtrack from yourself around street sounds and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, how long have we got to discuss this? But it's
about 4.5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I was putting some things back up onto a website, and a number of the soundscapes that I used to do during the pandemic were kind of podcasts, were kind of being reloaded back up. And it is of a moment. And that thing of kind of, I suppose the question about art is, where do you find the beauty in something? And we might walk past Betton shops and these stores, you know, these convenience stores that have opened up with the bright lights, which are completely different and alien from what's gone before in Leicester. And the fast food places and the, you know, the coffee shops and everything. And it's kind of, is there a beauty in them? And it, and you, what does it take to see that? And that, you know, from a sound point of view as well, there is, you know, you've got to listen, you've got to capture, you've got to record, and you've got to do lots of it in order to then kind of start to piece together later what that might be. Because it's kind of, you know, it's something which the reason I'm not taking any photographs is I don't feel that beauty at the moment. It's kind of a bit rough. It's a bit over commercialized. It's a bit kind of junk high streets. And that doesn't fill me with any kind of inspiration. So I'm interested to know from Albina, what is your inspiration that you're finding beauty in with your art?
It's current moment. We cannot change past and we cannot change future, and we can record only the current moment. That's what we're doing now. That's what I'm doing with my photography, going around Leicester and recording the current moment.
And are you finding that there's joyful moments that you didn't expect in that? Because often you can have a view in your mind before you go, and you're thinking, you know, it's this, you know, the preconceptions that we carry with us. And you see things from the point of view of somebody who's moved to Leicester and has seen Leicester through a different pair of eyes. Whereas if you kind of grown up here and you've been brought up in the UK, you see it in a different way.
I suppose it was very dull for me when I first came to Leicester, and the more I look into it, it's becoming more beautiful. Yes, there are points of improvement that not all, most of the times won't go into the photography, or would go into the photography but privately and be passed on to somebody to say, well, can we change that? Can we change that? But it's still, for me, every time I come out in Leicester for a photography session, I find something special about it. I do invite people, other photographers, to come with me and have Leicester Photography Day. I've done so with two so far. And it's amazing how different we'll look at Leicester and to focus. Focus is different.
Why do you think people come onto your photography walks? Is it because they meet you and they're intrigued by the fact that you're going out looking for something? You want something to be beautiful, so you're going out to try and find that. And maybe they're slightly disenfranchised as well with their own photography.
I suppose it's my passion about Leicester and me inviting to show Leicester
around.
Yeah,
you draw people in, don't you? Yeah, by having that conversation with people. I can feel that already, actually.
No, Leicester is a very special city. It's always been, and it's becoming even more with all the new things happening, with the Roman festival that we just celebrated, and the jewellery wall opening. It just adds on.
So for this final segment, thank you for Albina for taking the time to join us, and Rob, obviously your thoughts as well there about the street and photography and soundscapes and stuff. I find it fascinating as well, because when you just talk to, or when I talk to people about doing this podcast and why we do it, it's always like, oh, you know, I don't consider myself creative enough, or I don't think, you know, my artwork would be of interest to anybody. And there's a lot of people out there, I would say, in our conversation and our meeting that we had about, you know, giving Carol this dream opportunity to have an exhibition, which is quite straightforward, really, because we had a photography one and we've put a side by side with you, and we've created an opportunity that wasn't there before. Do you think that there's more should be done when it comes to putting on things like, you know, community exhibitions? Public spaces should be opened up more for people to be able to come in and put their artwork up, or anything that they consider creative, just as a way of saying, well, actually, it's been seen by people.
Well, I've got a very strong point of view on this, and I believe that we don't have enough museums, and we don't have enough culture, and we don't install enough culture in our children. The younger generations, unfortunately, they are stuck online on their PCs or tablets, and they don't go out to see lovely things and that has been created by people that are living now and people that lived in the past. They don't. That's when they lose that interaction in the meantime, and it's so important to have somewhere where you can go. And I also believe that museums have to be free of charge, so it's accessible and families can socialize there, spend time together whilst learning something. And parents are promoting this to their kids, like we've mentioned earlier. My dad brought it into me, so I'm just reaching out to those parents. Bring the arts into your children. Promote those arts. Send them to art clubs. Promote them to have those exhibitions. And please, please, please come and visit our exhibition in July, from 14th of July till 25th. Come and see the artwork we've got to show you.
Yeah, definitely. Come and visit Adult Education. So final thing I want to talk to you about is your dad. You're talking about, you know, your dad being your inspiration, and he's brought you into these things by inviting you and stuff like that. Do you think that he sees what you do and he is inspired as well?
I show him my photography. I showed him quite a few times because he lives in another country. We don't have a big big amount of time to spend with each other. But I do show him my photography. And yes, when we went on a trip to seaside last summer, he was asking me, have you noticed that handmade thing? I took a picture of it and you haven't.
Yeah. So it's almost like a something that you connect with as well, about how you see the world and, you know, the things that you think are important.
I suppose he's showing up what I haven't spotted yet. He's just bringing my attention. He's just helping me out. And I'm asking my dad to keep all the collection of his antiques he's got and his creations out of metal he's made for his creativity, for it to go further one day.
Into your own museum. You've spoken to me before about your aspiration for your own museum.
It's at least two museums is a dream, but let's see how it goes, as God gives.
Albina, thank you very much for taking the time to come and speak to us today on the Spotlight on Art podcast.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.